This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Their three-game losing streak and extend the Panthers' losing streak to three. They start a five-game homestand with a convincing 6-2 victory.
Back in the win column for the Calgary Flames. They down Matthew Tkachuk and the Florida Panthers 6-2 last night and sweep the season series against the Panthers. Starting off that five-game homestand with a big victory last night. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. You're on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, it's Logan Gordon along with you for the next 2 hours. Haley Salvian feeling under the weather, so no Hockey Central 960 today. You've got your next 2 hours of sports talk right here with me on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, Cam and Taylor are keeping things afloat in the other room. We've got lots to get to on a busy show today. We will chat some fantasy football coming up in just a few moments here with our pal Andy McNamara, our fantasy football guru. If you've got questions for Andy, make sure to send them into the fan feedback line at 960-960, and we'll get you set for another week of NFL football. Ask Andy's coming up in just a couple moments here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, start sit suggestions, trade options if you've still got a trade deadline coming up in your league. Waiver pickups, all that stuff. Andy is here to help you on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll get to that in just a couple of moments. We'll also chat in the second segment about a potential goaltending controversy for the Calgary Flames. I don't know if we're reaching that point yet, but I think the conversation about who should start for the Calgary Flames on Thursday against the Montreal Canadiens is an interesting one. So we'll talk about that in segment two, hour two today. Doubling up on the hockey talk, of course, Peter Labardius, our Flames insider, will join us. We'll break down what we saw last night between the Panthers and the Calgary Flames. And then we'll get a little bit more into the goaltending with Mike McKenna, former NHL goaltender and analyst with Daily Faceoff. But we kick the program off on this Wednesday afternoon, going down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and chatting with our pal, our fantasy football guru. It is Andy McNamara. AMC, how are you, pal?
Doing good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a little chilly here in Calgary. We're getting into that winter weather, but that means that fantasy football is in full swing. Hockey season's in full swing around here, so we're doing good.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's it, right? We have, really, post-Thanksgiving in the NFL, now this is the push for real-life NFL for fantasy, making those last key moves as you push to the playoffs, try to solidify a seeding. Whatever it might be, right? So we're right in the meat of it.
Yes, looking forward to it. And as always, on Wednesdays when we have Andy on, you can get some fantasy football advice in our segment Ask Andy that's coming up in just a few moments here on Sportsnet 960. You can text into the text line at 960-960 with all your questions, and we'll get them to Andy coming up in just a few moments here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. But Andy, as we always do, let's start with some general topics around the NFL, and we'll start with the news of the day out of Atlanta. Kyle Pitts will not return this season for the Falcons. He's undergoing knee surgery. It's been a disappointment. A lot of people thought Kyle Pitts might be the next big name at the tight end position, but so far he hasn't really lived up to that hype since the Falcons drafted him two seasons ago.
Yeah, and you know what? It was a lot of it was injury this year, and it was a case where we were thinking, okay, quarterback situation, not the best. Not the best situation in Atlanta. They're floundering, but you did have a 1,000-yard rookie season, right? You had a 1,000-yard rookie season. So can we build off of that? You know, what does that mean? And it looked like there could have been a roadmap there, and that maybe, just maybe, the talent on its own would be able to usurp the rest of the mess. But really, it just didn't end up that way. And now when you look at that tight end position, man, it's just bad. Like, we've said it all year, right? Like, we've said it all year just how bad that tight end spot is. and it continues to do so. And especially when, if you take out somebody like a Kyle Pitts, and then you're missing guys like Zach Ertz, who just got put on IR, Dallas Goedert, who got put on IR, all of a sudden, like, we're looking at the third best or the fourth best active tight end is Pat Freiermuth from the Steelers. That's gross. And he's had got single digit fantasy games. I'm looking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. And that's the fourth best active one. The position's a mess.
Is there anybody in Atlanta worth picking up now that Kyle Pitts is out of the picture?
No. Like, I know it was the same thing with Philly, right? When Dallas Goedert went down, I was like, oh, is anybody worth picking up? And it's just, no. Like, it just turned into a bit of a committee. And really, if your name isn't Cordarrelle Patterson, I'm not really that interested if it's a Falcons team. You know, like, yep. Sometimes Marcus Mariota can step up and be fantasy relevant. But for the most part, no.
Okay, let's talk about a position we always seem to talk about on these hits, Andy. It's the quarterback position. The carousel continues in a couple of different spots. But let's start with the New York Jets here and Mike White. He has a pretty stellar performance last week against the Bears, and it might not be a weekly occurrence given that the Bears' defense isn't one of the top ones in the league, Andy, but I certainly think from a fantasy football aspect, you've got to be at least intrigued about what Mike White can do at the quarterback position, and maybe more importantly, what he can do for some of the fantasy weapons around him.
So here was my thinking with the Mike White situation. And I got to thinking, I was like, okay, well, doesn't it sound familiar? I did a little bit of research as, you know, professional broadcaster here, Logan, right? You know, you do research mm-hmm. once in a while. And I thought, this sounds familiar. Then I remembered, wait a minute. First week of November 2021, just over a full calendar year ago, we had AFC Player of the Week, Mike White. Good. Remember Mike White back? It was, wow, Mike White. He's the guy. He's going to and keep going. And then what happened? We saw a 405-yard performance go down to a 96-yard performance, turn into a zero touchdown, four interception performance over that same stretch. So now if I'm looking at Mike White, I'm thinking, okay, had the good performance coming in, you know, and now, though, when you get a chance for teams to really dig in again and prepare for you, can Mike White be that guy? Now, is he better to use than if Zach Wilson was in there? Like, yeah, I guess, right? Like, and we're talking Joe Flacco? Like, these are not exciting options. And when you look at Minnesota, the defense is good, not great. But I think enough where you can look at this team and say, okay, do I want to try to rely on Mike White if I have to in a getting into a playoff run where you are facing Minnesota, Buffalo, Detroit, Jacksonville? Minnesota, Buffalo, not so much. Maybe if he's hanging around against Detroit December 18 in Jacksonville, maybe I can swing back to Mike White. But the guy I'd rather play this week, that's a roster I believe in only about 26% of most leagues, Logan, is Trevor Lawrence. I think we can get back to Trevor Lawrence as a more reliable than a Mike White that we saw. We saw this exact scenario last year. You know, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. That's what holds me back on it. Trevor Lawrence, though, we're seeing with a bye week sandwich in between, 21 fantasy points, 25 fantasy points against the Ravens, and you beat the Ravens. Guess where you're going? To face Detroit, and Detroit's given up the most fantasy points to quarterback. I think it is Trevor Lawrence who's the guy you should be streaming and trying to get a hold of this week, not Mike White.
Ask Andy coming up in just a couple of moments with our fantasy football guru, Andy McNamara, here on Sportsnet 960. Some of the questions already filing in at 960-960. Make sure to get yours in so we can get your question answered on today's edition of Ask Andy. The quarterback position, an interesting one in Green Bay, Andy. Sounds as though Aaron Rodgers is good to go after that scare with his ribs, but we already know this guy is dealing with a broken thumb. He's beaten up. The Packers as a whole are beaten up. And then add on to it, Jordan Love actually had a pretty impressive performance in spot duty against the Philadelphia Eagles. If you were someone that was desperate for a quarterback or perhaps looking forward in a dynasty league, I know we don't always talk about this, but is Jordan Love someone that you might be interested in?
So I would rather Mike White than Jordan Love. Consider what I just said about Mike White.
Yep.
And here's the difference. Here's the difference. And we've seen this so many times in the NFL. Guys come in mid-game. Teams don't get a chance to prepare. Mid-game, guy does well. He doesn't have any pressure on him. Team doesn't know what to expect from. Comes in, looks good. Okay. Now you got a full week to prepare for Jordan Love. I hated the draft pick by the Packers when it happened. I didn't think too highly of the talent of Jordan Love. I didn't think he was a first-round pick, and I think he's been a complete bust, and you wasted if you're the Packers. I can only imagine, if I'm talking about Jordan Love, just fires me up all the time. I can only imagine if I was a Packers fan how PO'd I'd be, that you wasted a first-round pick when you could have built up around Aaron Rodgers, still in the prime of his career. You know what? I'm not liking this game at all. I hope that Justin Fields is able to play. If he does, and if it comes out that shoulder is manageable, I would take the Bears in a straight-up upset, to be honest with you. If he doesn't and you're going, you know, Trevor Siemian, you know, maybe. But I do not like the Jordan Love play. I just don't.
Just a couple more with you, Andy, before we get to Ask Andy. And this is sort of an interesting one because I feel like this is a guy that's crept around some fantasy rosters for the first couple of weeks, and we're maybe holding out hope that he's going to be fantasy relevant, but I don't know if that's true. Talk to me about Odell Beckham Jr. and how you feel about this situation. Is there a preferred landing spot for you when it comes to fantasy football? And maybe even more, is there a destination you wouldn't want to see him end up, whether it's, you know, a lack of value from OBJ himself or the fact that maybe he might take targets away from someone else?
Boy, like Odell Beckham Jr., it's always something. He's either at an event or he's wearing a watch in a field, or I don't know, he's getting dragged off a plane for sleeping or not sleeping or not answering. Something's weird there. Okay. His agent's like, oh, he was asleep. Really? You're telling me a person just for sleeping? I don't think so. Something's weird. Odell Beckham Jr. is a complete distraction. He belongs in Dallas. How Jerry Jones loves the circus there. He belongs there. I hope he doesn't. I think Odell Beckham Jr. for fantasy owners is a huge red flag for the player and wherever he goes, because he is a giant crybaby who demands and cries for targets. So if you're in Dallas, do you want targets being taken away from CeeDee Lamb, from Dalton Schultz, to Michael Gallup, who had the most targets and catches and receiving yards he had all season last week? Maybe Michael Gallup's starting to rise a little bit into that WR2. That's somebody, by the way, folks, try to get on your bench. Just keep him. You know, don't necessarily play him this week. Keep Michael Gallup. See if the trend continues. But that's the type of thing you see with Odell Beckham Jr. And then we also have to remember is, okay, he comes back off of another significant injury, another ACL tear. So what, he's going to come right back in and just start being a superstar? Odell Beckham Jr. has not been consistently a superstar in what, like 5 years? Like he popped a little bit last year, a bit, not consistently. Like I don't understand the hype for Odell Beckham Jr. He's a star who made a one-handed catch on Thanksgiving. Guess what? David Njoku made a better catch last week to beat Tom Brady for the Browns, a left-handed catch, by the way. I don't think he is fantasy relevant, and I think that his career is approaching an end. I think he's too much of a headache no matter where he goes.
Speaking of a headache, I don't know what exactly Kyle Shanahan's feeling right now with the 49ers. Elijah Mitchell goes down again. CMC was a non-participant in practice today for the 49ers. Is that running back situation worry you a bit right now, Andy?
It does. The 49ers just, I don't know if they've tried replacing the medical staff, if they've tried changing the stretching routine. But Logan, doesn't it seem for like legitimately the past like 4 to 5 years, everybody gets injured all the time?
Weird. It is strange.
All of them. It doesn't matter who, everybody gets injured. I don't know why. I wish I did. I don't know why. So it's definitely concerning because now we're in the dreaded guessing game. And now it's, do I pick up Jordan Mason off of waivers? Do I pick up Tyron Davis Price off of waivers? The answer is Kyle Shanahan might know, but the rest of us don't, and it's a guessing game. One, both, or neither could pop. Or Christian McCaffrey could play and sit them all.
Yeah.
Or you could see what we had last year. Maybe Deebo Samuel goes back to getting more reps. I think this is a big week for Deebo. I don't think people are talking enough about how the answer to the question is not Jordan Mason or Davis Price. The answer is Deebo Samuel because we've seen him do it. I think Deebo gets a ton of touches, and that also elevates a Brandon Ayuk a little bit, who might get some more if Deebo gets allocated to that backfield role a bit more. That's what I think the answer is. Big, big, big week for Deebo Samuel. I don't care what the price is on. He's always expensive on DraftKings contests. I would put Deebo Samuel in. I think Deebo Samuel's a DraftKings contest winner this week.
Just a couple more for Andy McNamara here. Ask Andy's coming up. You can get your fantasy football questions in at 960-960. Do you need start, sit suggestions, waiver advice? You got some guys on bye weeks looking to hold out some hope for a late season trade. If you have a league that's still got a trade deadline that's open, feel free to shoot them in at 960-960. Irony in all that conversation we had about the 49ers and their running backs, Andy, is a familiar face coming to town this week with the Dolphins and Jeff Wilson Jr. And appears to be the new guy in Miami who's running the rock pretty well for them and gets out of San Francisco and seems to do pretty well and staying healthy, or at least right now. You're right. It's just a weird situation they've had the last couple of years there.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah, that's a good point, because the Mike McDaniels, really, for head coach for the Dolphins, brought his 49ers running back crew with him, Mostert and Wilson, right? These are his guys.
Yep.
Wilson's got there. Really good. Like, really good fantasy-wise. Last week, a little bit more down, a little bit more of a split, right? Mostert was out one game, so a little bit more of a split. I think you could slot in Jeff Wilson Jr. and Mostert probably pretty comfortably into the middle-ish RB2 conversation, probably in the 12, 13 to 17 point range, which is just fine, you know. That's where I sort of see you could have both work out on your fantasy team. I'm just really impressed with how the Dolphins' offense is operating, because you're not having a case where Wilson coming in is really hindering much of anything else they want to do. It's enhancing it. And, you know, Jalen Waddle's fine. Tyreek Hill's fine. Mostert you can use. Like, everybody's eating in Miami.
Last one for you. How intrigued are you by Melvin Gordon continuing his tour of the AFC West teams, landing with the Kansas City Chiefs after being waived by the Broncos? And what does that do for what's already a crowded backfield in KC?
Boy, we've been talking all year. I've said from pretty much the beginning, I don't want anything to do with the Kansas City backfield. I didn't want anything to do with it in September, and I definitely want nothing to do with it now. All right, so now Melvin Gordon's here. All right, Ronald Jones is – all the people that rushed out to get Ronald Jones is not good, and he continues not to be good. Isaiah Pacheco was supposed to be the guy. Well, apparently they feel they need more. So it's just so clouded. The only guy, I guess in some spots you could maybe flex Pacheco, looking for a bit of a contrarian play for drafting, a little bit cheaper maybe. But I just don't like the situation. They want to throw the football. They want to throw it, and they want to throw it a lot. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be good days ever for the running back.
Yeah, tough situation there. I feel like Mahomes and Kelce are your go-tos in Kansas City, and the rest you're kind of playing with fire. So we'll see how that situation works itself out for the rest of the season. I know that I had seen recently, I think that the Chiefs had moved into the top spot when it comes to Super Bowl odds down the stretch. And hard to argue with them. That team is playing pretty well under Andy Reid right now.
They're looking good. And you know what? Like, when I say about the running backs, I'm talking fantasy-wise.
Yeah,
the whole offense is operating extremely well. It's efficient. It just doesn't work out well for your fantasy team, right? So,
yeah
that whole crew is working good. Everybody's clicking. The thing is, they've been there before. They know what it takes. They know the process to get there. So we'll see. Maybe down the stretch, Isaiah Pacheco continues to do to get better. Cincinnati – decent matchup there. Denver, no matter what's pretty tough. Boy, Houston, week 15, that could be a nice Pacheco week. They're the worst against the run. So there's ways, you know, but we just have to now keep track and see how Melvin Gordon, if he does it all, get worked into that lineup.
All right, we've gone through enough of the general fantasy questions for you. It's time to get to our favorite segment of the week, where Andy McNamara helps your fantasy football team pick up a win this week. It's time for Ask Andy.
You've got fantasy questions, he has fantasy answers. Helping you week by week in the leagues you love. It's time for Ask Andy on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, AMC, ready for another edition of Ask Andy?
Let's do it, baby. Let's go.
All right, buddy. Let's start with a tight end question. Waiting until Dallas Goedert gets back, who do I roll with, Higbee or Kmet?
Okay, Kmet if Justin Fields plays. if Fields does not play, you can't go with Kmet because then he just goes back to just being another in his other, you know, another guy type of role. The 2 weeks, 2.5, where him and Fields really clicked, whew, gorgeous. Over 20 fantasy points in two of those. But without him, he goes back down. So I'd say if he doesn't play, you go with Higbee.
This is from Jeremy in Calgary here. Should you start Cousins or Garoppolo this weekend?
Ooh, boy. The Vikings and Kirk Cousins, they always give you a bit of a chance. He got shellacked, right? So I'm still thinking you probably go with Cousins. Jimmy G, I started to get that bit of a vibe. You know, last week it was the one touchdown, 200 yards, 13 fantasy points after getting 25 and people just running over themselves to go get him the week before against Arizona. I think you look at it and you say, okay, you got Cousins. The Jets defense is better than we all thought, but he can still put up points compared to 2 weeks ago when he got blasted by Dallas. They beat New England. I think you go with Kirk Cousins.
And just wanted to throw this out there to anybody listening and sending in questions for the text line. If you can throw in what type of league you're in, standard scoring, half PPR, PPR, any sort of little info that helps us along the way, for sure throw those in. And not just week to week. I always remind people about this, Andy, too. If you've got dynasty questions or some general NFL ones you want to throw in there, we're open to a little bit of everything here on Ask Andy. A little bit more information just helps us get you some better answers down the way as well.
Definitely. Yeah, more info, the better. And, you know, just like we've heard texters coming into the start of the year, you know, people win leagues listening to this segment, Logan. People win cash. I don't get any of it, but people win cash listening to this segment. So we're happy to help you.
Well, see, and that's exactly where this goes. Our man Trevor says he wanted to give you a shout-out. He says, I've clinched first place in a first-round bye, 10-2 in my 10-team league. He says, I think I need to change the show name to Ask Andy and Trevor. I just wanted to say a thank you for all you do with the fantasy forecasting, man. So passing along a thank you from Jeremy.
Trevor, yes. Well, thank you very much. You're very welcome. It's a ton of fun. I love being on with you and talking fantasy football. So it's I love doing it. If we can help people along the way, that's always a bonus.
This is an interesting one to me. Kamara or Godwin?
Boy, if Kamara's healthy, I still think you have to go with Kamara. But the thing is, he's been banged up, and I know that the numbers haven't quite been there. New Orleans so weird, aren't they?
Yes.
They're just a weird team.
Like, what are you trying to be if you're New Orleans? I have no idea.
I don't know. Like, are you losing? Are you rebuilding? Like, what are you? It's so strange. I'm going to say, if you look at it, you probably go with Godwin. Unless Kamara, if he comes back and, you know, they're like, okay, he's 100% on Saturday, they announce it, then I go Kamara. Tom Brady, we might be getting past the stage where we can just count on. I was like, oh, he's mad. I mean, he's going to have a good game. He's been terrible against New Orleans. He hasn't beaten them since he's been with the Buccaneers. So I think that might be a sneaky play as well when it comes to this. I forget what the DraftKings Sportsbook money line was, but it was pretty favorable in line with New Orleans winning outright. Might be one of those games. Like, if Brady loses that, you can still win the division because that NFC South is the worst in football. But, boy, it could get a lot interesting. I think you go with Godwin, though.
I might have room for a couple extra questions if you get them in quickly for Ask Andy here on Sportsnet 960, 960-960. We got a couple questions regarding quarterbacks, and I feel for people in this spot, Andy, because I'm one of them. I've got Justin Fields in a league. So let's go to these ones first. Fields or Lawrence this Sunday? That's coming from Byron.
If Fields is healthy enough to play, and that's what, you know, you got to follow the local reporters too, not just the network guys. Follow the local Bears guys. See what they're saying. If he's going to be limited or whatever, you can't do it. And you have to go Trevor Lawrence. I outlined it earlier in the interview. I think this is a great position for Trevor Lawrence, who has back-to-back games of over 20 fantasy points.
If Mixon can't go this week, who would you start at running back? This is a 14-team PPR league. I need two of these three, Andy. Rashad White, Jeff Wilson Jr., and Damian Pierce.
I think you sit White. Pierce, I know, has had a couple down games, but the Browns' defense is a run defense. If Houston's the worst, the Browns are like two or three worse. Like, they can't stop the run. And really, Houston has no other option. So I think Damian Pierce is the play there. I do like Rashad White. In general, he didn't go off as much as maybe we thought last week against the Browns in the Cleveland win. But I think with that one, you go with the other two and sit White.
How do you feel about Brian Robinson right now, Andy, with the injuries in around right now? Would you start him if Jacobs can't go this week?
Yeah, you know, I'm very inconsistent, right? You have one big week, then a down week. You have big week, down week. Giants run defense right in the middle. You have the bye coming up as well. I wouldn't mind playing him. You know, if you're going directly by the pattern that he's had this season, he is due for a down single digit week. But, you know, those can be more fluke than anything else. I think you'd play him if you don't have anybody that really jumps out as being, you know, that jumps off the page as being better. I would just temper your expectations. You know, probably not going to be a 20 plus fantasy point game like you had against Atlanta. But against the Giants, you know, maybe it's 12, 13, and, you know, you're okay with that.
If Justin Fields can't play, stuck between Watson or Herbert, who are you feeling this week, Andy?
Oh boy, Deshaun Watson making his debut. Yeah, I'm advising people try to avoid Deshaun Watson this week because of the fact that he hasn't played a football game in 700 days.
It's been a while.
In the regular season.
It's been a while.
Think about that. 700 days. Now he always has the benefit of his legs, quick out passes, whatever, but if the Browns play callers are smart, and believe me, they are not always, you should be running the ball a lot more and easing Deshaun Watson in. So I would say no to Watson.
A couple PPR questions here. Thielen, Mostert, or Myers in a PPR league?
Oh, and PPR. I'm leaning Mostert. Yeah, you know what? I was thinking Myers, but I don't like that Buffalo matchup, so I'll say Mostert.
Another Deshaun Watson question. This is a super flex league, half PPR. Should I be ready to roll with Deshaun Watson at my flex or go with Ramondre Stevenson this week?
Stevenson with Harris likely not playing. I think you go with Stevenson. I know the Buffalo defense. I know they're good, but if you're in New England, you have to use Stevenson. You have to. You don't have a choice. Again, I hope Deshaun Watson comes out, balls out, because that means it's a good day for the Cleveland Browns. But I just don't. Even if against the bad Texans, that's a lot to ask after that much time off. There's got to be rust. There just has to be. So, again, I would say try to avoid it. He might come out. If that dude comes out and starts swinging, throws for 304 touchdowns, you know, okay. But, boy, I just don't know who, as gifted or good a player as you are, no matter what. You don't do something for 700 days at full speed. I don't know how you'd be successful.
Lots of quarterback questions, and not surprising, a lot of people with the Deshaun Watson ones. Two quarterback league, Andy. Give me two of these three. Goff, Jones, Watson.
Goff and Jones.
Yeah. This one's a little bit out of our regular realm of fantasy questions, but I thought I'd throw it your way, Andy, and see what you've got for an answer. This texter texts in and says, "Hey, Andy, I'm going to be entering a playoff pick'em pool at the end of the regular season. If you were picking the Super Bowl favorite of the teams in a playoff spot right now, who would you pick?"
Ooh, interesting. Okay, playoff pick 'em. Okay, that's not bad. I like that idea. I think you have to go Kansas City Chiefs. If I were to put it in an order, I would put Kansas City, Buffalo, Philadelphia. I'd get San Francisco in there somewhere, maybe not as high. Miami, I like the story. I'm just not fully sold on it, but I'd mix Miami in there. No one from the AFC North or South. No one from the NFC South, that's for sure. And Minnesota, we know they can't win in big games. So there you go.
Michael Gallup or DeVonta Smith this week?
Ooh, you know what? I'll say DeVonta Smith. Like I said, I like where Gallup, I think, could be going. Most targets, most catches, most yards that he's had this season last week. Does that continue? Was that a one-off? If it continues to grow, that's great, because then that means he's getting back to that WR2 territory we saw the other year. That's really good news for Michael Gallup owners. But I think you go DeVonta Smith, just knowing a little bit how he's been incorporated more into that lineup. He's still, you know, still a bit of a roller coaster, but I think you go with DeVonta Smith.
And last but not least, Andy, who do I start this week? Geno Smith at the Rams or Taylor Heinicke at the Giants?
Boy, how about that Taylor Heinicke, huh? Poor Carson Wentz.
Carson who?
Oh, for Nick Foles, then Taylor Heinicke. Oh, my, Carson Wentz. Yeah, it was Heinicke, and who's the other one? It was
Geno Smith against the Rams.
It was Geno Smith. Okay, I think you go with Geno Smith. He's had a couple of down weeks, two losses in a row for the Seahawks. You know, you got to be a little careful there, and they might be coming back down to earth, but the Rams are just really bad. So I think you go with him.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Also, no Aaron Donald. He's been ruled out this week, so one less frightening option for Geno Smith to worry about. How banged up are the Rams right now, Andy? Holy, that team is just going through it.
Man, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, the running backs, what have we, injured or not, good. Oof, terrible. As you said, Donald, they're a mess. They're in shutdown mode. They're not doing anything. They're in shut it down mode. Matthew Stafford can't stay healthy. He's up and down. It's terrible. I think if you got to have anybody, get Van Jefferson on your team. You know, if you have that spot that you're not using anyway or whatever, get Van Jefferson on it. Because they got to throw to someone. But you're having Bryce Perkins? Come on. You know, what are we doing? Or John Walford? Eh. It's not doing anything for him. You know, Bryce Perkins, he runs. Bryce Perkins might be one of those guys, DraftKings contest, put him in. Maybe the guy runs in a couple tutties or something for you. I wouldn't put him in a season long. But for a DraftKings, but if you get pick right on a couple of those long shots, that's how you win some money. So maybe there, but long term, really probably just Van Jefferson a bit.
Before I let you go, Andy, not fantasy related, but anything that's caught your eye on this week 13 schedule? I think we got Bills, Patriots tomorrow. Your Browns are in Houston for Deshaun Watson's return. Any game that's really caught your eye this week?
The Bills Patriots game, from like real life wise, I think is very interesting. Just from because that AFC East, right? It's way tighter and closer than we thought. If I'm looking like betting wise, that game doesn't do too much for me. I think -125 Ramondre Stevenson for the over 61.5 rushing yards is a good play. The Dolphins 49ers. I think when you look at it, the Dolphins, and we talked about this game a bit here today, but like the Dolphin pays out +175 to beat the 49ers straight up. I think that's an interesting matchup just in general, because you have, you know, McDaniel's going back. You got the two running backs. You know, how is this team going to be used, 49ers, when there's injuries? So it's +175. The Dolphins have won five in a row. Like, it wouldn't be that shocking if they went out and won it. That could be a sneaky, you know, game of the week type of matchup.
Andy, always appreciate the time, man. You're truly the best. Always appreciate you coming on with us every Wednesday and getting everybody set up. There's lots of comments we get every week thanking you for the fantasy advice. We'll do it again next week, pal. Enjoy the games this weekend, hey?
Oh, thank you very much. All the listeners, love you. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Andy McNamara, our fantasy football guru here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, joining us for another edition of Ask Andy. If you want to and you happen to miss getting your questions in on the fan feedback line, Andy's always nice enough to give you some help on Twitter. If you're looking for it, hit him up on Twitter, at AndyMC81, and use the hashtag AskAndy, and he'll give you a hand with any of the fantasy football questions you might have ahead of Week 13 of NFL action. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Let's dive into last night's Flames game. The Flames picking up a big win against the Florida Panthers, and an interesting conversation now about who starts in goal on Thursday against the Montreal Canadiens. We'll talk about that next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Former Flame wheels it up the right wing side and centers. Hornqvist to redirect. Great save by Vladar. Dan Vladar robbing Patrick Hornqvist.
Dan Vladar, the story of the night last night for the Calgary Flames. 6-2, the final. And Dylan Dubé was excellent. Jonathan Huberdeau was excellent against his former team. But Dan Vladar, number 80, making an interesting case right now for the Calgary Flames. Welcome back to Sportsnet Today. It's Logan Gordon along with you. The hour one of Sportsnet Today continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, or wherever you get your podcast. And I think we have an interesting conundrum on our hands if you're the Calgary Flames. What do you do heading into Thursday against Sean Monahan and the Montreal Canadiens? Dan Vladar is playing a stretch that he's never played in the NHL. Going back to his time in Boston, where he only played a handful of NHL games, this would be the longest stretch that Dan's played consecutively. And I think we're at a point where you got to ride the hot hand. Here's head coach Daryl Sutter on his goaltender's performance last night following the win against the Florida Panthers.
He was solid. I mean, he had, there's probably four or five really good ones, but he was solid. I liked the way he had covered pucks and moved pucks.
He was solid. I didn't have any complaints last night. The one that Dan might, and I emphasis might, want back is the Reinhardt goal. And even then, it's a tricky shot that gets tipped by Michael Stone's stick. Just generally knowing goaltenders and how these guys handle themselves, that's a question of, hey, I got a good look at it. Wasn't really screened. I would have liked to have gotten a piece of it. Even then, I had no problem with how Dan played. I think he was fantastic last night. I think he's been fantastic most of the year. Outside of the game against Seattle, he's given the team a chance to win, and that's what he was critical of himself going back to Saturday against Carolina. He goes, I'm 1-4. That's just not good enough. We got to get wins. And you love that mentality. But at the same time, you've also got to say, Dan, you're not scoring, man. You can't hold yourself accountable to all of it. But you love it if you're a Flames fan. Vladar's stat line last night, 25 saves on 27 shots. 31 saves on 33 shots. That was even strength. That's a .939 save percentage for his second win of the season. That he was great on the penalty kill. And so I'll ask the listeners here, 960-960. We love to get the fan feedback line going. We got it going yesterday, talking about the return of Matthew Tkachuk and Sean Monahan. Let's do it again. Who do you start on Thursday if you're Daryl Sutter? I know who I start. I start Dan Vladar. And that's fully understanding that Jacob Markstrom is this team's ride or die. And I still believe that. But I think we're in a unique situation here in Calgary that we're just not used to. And that's that there is a backup goaltender here in Calgary that is capable of going on extended shifts as this team's starter. I don't think it changes who the team's number one is. And I don't think it changes who I'm going with when I need to win a playoff series, because that's going to be Jacob Markstrom. But it's November 30th today. The Flames are one game above 500. I'm going with the guy that's playing best right now, and that's Dan Vladar. And that's not a shot at Jacob Markstrom. I know that there will be people on the fan feedback line. I've heard it on the Flames Talk post-game show with Pat on the call-ins that, hey, it's time to start talking about not only giving Dan Vladar starts, but making Dan Vladar the starter. I'm nowhere near that point yet. I think you can still give Dan a good stretch of games here and go back to Jacob Markstrom. This isn't even 5-6 years ago, and I don't have to remind Flames fans of what it's like when you have a subpar backup goaltender. This isn't that anymore. You have a competent, above-average backup goaltender who's coming into his own in the NHL. Don't be afraid to use him in a capacity more than a regular backup. I start Dan Vladar on Thursday. What do you do? 960-960. I will bring in the Gen Z minions on the other side who have a Dan Vladar shrine in the Sportsnet 960s, I should say the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Sportsnet 960 downtown studio.
We hopped on the train early.
Tay-Tay, yeah, I was going to say, Tay, you guys got on this Dan Vladar shrine weeks ago. We have a whiteboard here that I believe Taylor started a win counter for Dan Vladar, or a starts counter.
Cam has started a Vladar starts, but we should add a Vladar win.
Yeah, see, we stand Dan Vladar in this studio, right? I think that's fair to say.
Him.
We love us some Dan Vladar. So I'm curious, you two, you're watching hockey. I know you're getting more. I know Taylor, I know you're big into it, and Cam, you're picking it up more. You got to take your Dan Vladar love to the side, though, and tell me.
That might be a little hard.
I know it's going to be hard. You have I can see Taylor's face, and above her left shoulder, I can see the framed Dan Vladar picture with a halo above him. It's beautiful and it's very nice, but I'm curious, who do you guys start on Thursday? Do you go back to Markstrom or do you go to your boy Vladar?
Well, the thing for me is I am going to the game against the Caps on Saturday.
Okay.
And I would love to see Dan Vladar
We're taking personal account into this. Okay.
We are. But based off of what's kind of happening, like their stats and wins, you have to go Vladar.
Cam?
See, I'm obviously a part of the Dan Vladar fan club. I'm an enjoyer of Mr. Vladar.
Yes.
But I also understand how much money you're paying Jacob Markstrom right now. And I think the sooner this guy gets his flow going and gets back into where he needs to be as, you know, arguably a top 10 goalie in the league, maybe higher, the better. But right now, like you're saying, Dan's just playing better. And I think Sutter's just going to play the better player. And right now, Dan's playing better. So I don't know. It's really tricky. It's a good problem to have, though.
It is. And I think that that's the main part right now, if you're a Flames fan, that you can be okay with is, and I don't even think you have to be okay with it. You can still be disappointed that Jacob Markstrom hasn't been as good as you'd hoped. But the great news is that right now you don't have, and with all due respect to some of these, you know, it's not Joni Ortio. It's not Joey McDonald. It's not whoever else you want to name. And I've been here. I've lived here. I've been through the pain of, you know, Leland Irving. And again, these guys are competent NHL goaltenders. They're better at the position than I will ever hope to be in my life. But the Flames have a competent backup goaltender right now. Use him. If he's your better option, use the guy. That being said, I have no idea what Darryl does on Thursday. I will tell you what I think, and I told you I think you should start him, but does that mean Darryl feels the same way? I have no idea. I don't know if Sigalette and LaBarbera feel differently. I don't know that they will take into account Taylor's personal plans coming up on Saturday to see Dan Vladar.
Got a direct line right to her.
Yeah, we will definitely text as many Flames people as we know to make that happen for Taylor, but they generally don't answer our phone calls.
I feel maybe we should get them on the line here.
Yeah, that's good. We'll go right to Tree.
Yeah.
Taylor would like to see Dan on Saturday.
Yeah, can we make that happen? What do you think?
Who the hell is this? Hang up the phone. Some of your texts at 960-960, and we'll chat about this with Peter Labardius in our next hour as well. I think it's a really interesting conversation to have right now. Byron texts in and says, Vladar's earned the shot at Thursday's game after last night. At this point, the Flames need to ride the hot hand. Kelly in Copperfield says, you start Vladar. How are you going to know what he can do if you don't ride him when he's hot? You have to go with him. There's no reason not to. Gord, same train. Ride Vladar till he loses. This deck says, you start Darth all day long. It'll only make Markey want it that much more. And then there's a couple of other texts here that go the other way. This text says, Markstrom should play. We have our lines back to where they were when we went 5-1 before Darryl started the mad scientist act. This text, very, very down the middle, but I don't think you have the Flames' best intentions at heart. This text says, what does it matter? Suzuki's going to light up either one of them anyways. I don't think you, you're helping the conversation here. Al says, I say save Vladar for Saturday and Ovi. Start Markstrom tomorrow.
I like this.
Yeah. A couple more here. I start Dan. The Habs are a young, exciting team. I think it's good to have the hot goalie in for that. Yeah, hey, don't look past Montreal in this. Just because they're, you know, in a bit of a retool year, they still won 11 games this season. There's still some offensive buzz. That texter, you know, I jokingly throw that in there because it's a Montreal fan texting in, but Suzuki's been great. Caulfield's one of the exciting young goal scorers in this league. Don't assume the 2 points are in the bank coming up against Montreal on Thursday. Is it a chance for redemption on Saturday for this team against the Washington Capitals team that shut them out for the first time this season? Going back to that 6-game road trip? One more text here says, it's a no-brainer. Sutter loves to continuously play a hot goalie. Full disclosure, I'm an Oilers fan, and Vladar has been the better goalie, not just this season. As an Oilers fan, the best thing in playoffs was seeing Markstrom get the start that night. Markstrom is a stud goalie, but he's not playing up to his caliber, and Vladar has been earning it. Yeah, see, that's the thing, too, is I think that as much as it's a pride thing and people will worry about the mental part of it for Jacob Markstrom, I'm actually not all that worried about it. When you talk to Jacob in the locker room and when you hear him on the road and you get a sense of this guy, I don't think this guy is that thin-skinned that he's going to suddenly break down even more because Dan Vladar's got a couple of starts. Even go back to last night, the happiest person in the lineup to go see Dan Vladar after the win, after the final horn went last night, was Jacob Markstrom. The guy had a huge smile on his face. He was super excited that Dan picked up the win. They're a competitive duo. They push each other to be better. I think, again, if you're talking about fully taking the role from Jacob away, different story, but I don't think that's what we're talking about. I'm so far removed from that side of the conversation, but I'm totally here for the conversation of right now, who's your better goalie, Vladar or Markstrom? And right now it's Vladar. Would I fully expect that Jacob Markstrom finds a way back to it? Yeah, I really do. That was a Vezina finalist last year. Guy works his ass off in practice to be better. He's going to get there. But while he's not there, just be thankful you've got a guy that can carry the mail. Because you could be in a spot like a lot of other teams right now that don't have a competent backup goaltender, and you're forced to start the guy that's working through it. It's a good situation. The Flames haven't had that in a long time. Take advantage of it. We'll see what they do on Thursday. Really looking forward to that. Sean Monahan's back in town. We'll get a feel for what exactly lines and pairings look like at morning skate tomorrow. And, of course, we'll bring you that game here live on Sportsnet 960, your home of the Calgary Flames. 6 o'clock warm-up, 7 o'clock puck drop with Derek Wills and Peter Labardia. Speaking of Lou, it's 2 o'clock coming up next. Hour 2 of Sportsnet today. We'll continue around the corner, and we'll bring in our Flames insider, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, here on Sportsnet 960, the Fan. It is Peter Labardia. We'll talk to him next, and we'll get his feel for the Dan Vladar, Jacob Markstrom conversation. We'll dive into last night's win against the Panthers as well. All that and more coming up next. Keep it locked here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.